Would turn with me to 1 Peter, the second chapter. Actually, we're going to be in 1 Peter quite a bit this morning. So just turn to 1 Peter. We'll begin reading in chapter 2 here in just a few moments. Again, as Rusty mentioned, we welcome all that are here this day, the visitors that we might have. Appreciate you all joining with us in our worship this morning. As we come together, it is to worship God, the Creator, the one true and living God, the only true and living God that we come together to worship. As we're going to read this morning, the God that we worship is holy, completely, utterly holy. And we need to worship as our Creator, as our holy God, and we must be obedient to Him. A couple of things before we start the lesson this morning. I want to make sure that men, please be prepared for Wednesday night, one way or the other. And everybody needs to be prepared for the class, if we have the class. But men, please come prepared with the scripture or songs that we might, if we have our singing instead on Wednesday night. And so please be prepared for that. And also, song leaders, the class this afternoon, not just for song leaders, but I'd like to have the song leaders, if you could, please come prepared with one or two songs and that we might sing them as part of our song teaching, our song class this afternoon, and that's at 4 o'clock. So please be prepared for that also. I want to talk about and mention here the scriptures that we see in the New Testament many times tell us that we need to be ready for persecution. The early Christians, as we're going to see, were persecuted from time to time, greatly persecuted. We have not endured any of the same kind of persecution here in this country. As Henry mentioned a while ago, the Independence Day is coming up in a couple of days that we celebrate our liberty, but that liberty is, as we also see in the New Testament, the liberty is not to do whatever we want to do, no matter what. That liberty causes us to be, as Christians, in subjection first to God, and also in subjection to others. We have that liberty here in this country. There are many places around the world, maybe not as much as we will talk about this morning, but there are many places in the world where Christians do not have liberties. They may be free from sin, but they may have a great amount of physical persecutions, or as we might call it, mental persecutions, those that would talk them down, talk bad about them, whatever we might see. We have that a little bit here in this country also. We've had that for the last several years, that religion has somewhat, especially Christianity, has been put down over the past a few years, but we need to be ready for this persecution, as we will see here in just a moment. Christ is our ultimate example, as we see here in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 21 beginning. He is the ultimate example of persecution. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. And here are the steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Let us remember this. Christ is the ultimate example. In chapter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." That's what we have to remember here. The ultimate example of persecution was Jesus, the Christ. But Paul also said that he was one that followed after that persecution. He imitated Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, as it says there, he said, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." And we see this over in the 2 Corinthian letter, beginning in chapter 11 and verse 22. Paul here, as he was writing to the Corinthians, there were many that were boasting in the flesh. And he said, "Okay, if you want to boast in the flesh, let me boast in the flesh for a little while." I'm paraphrasing, obviously, what he said there. But he said, there were those that were building themselves up as Jews because they were, quote, the chosen of God. Or they were building themselves up in another way in the flesh. But Paul here, as he's writing to them, he's talking about the flesh as well as being an Israelite. He said, "Are they Hebrews?" This is verse 22 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. "So am I." "Are they Israelites?" "So am I." "Are they the seed of Abraham?" "So am I." "Are they ministers of Christ?" "I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." We see here that Paul carried out the idea of suffering or persecution, being ready to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of Christ, as he imitated Christ. Again, Christ the ultimate example, Paul being an imitator of Christ. But we also see in Acts, the other apostles also suffered many things. In Acts chapter 4, we see Peter as one example of the Peter and John in this case. In the 18th verse of chapter 4 of Acts, and talking about the council, they brought them, it says, "So they called them, the apostles, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done." Now they had healed a man here during this time, and so the people held them high for that the act of the healing here. But they were teaching this Jesus that had been crucified some days prior to this, this was bringing judgment upon the leaders of the Jews. And so they forbid them to speak about God. So we see Peter as being told, under persecution, not to do this, Peter and John. Over in the 5th chapter, again, they are come before the Sanhedrin, and they are brought up on charges that they had not followed what had been told them to do. And in verse 27 of chapter 5, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" They kept God in the forefront here. And also over in verse 40, And this is after the council had heard Gamaliel and the advice that he gave in verse 39. If it's of men, it's going to go away and come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. And verse 40, and they agreed with him. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they, that's the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. We see a lot of examples here, and then finally over in chapter 8, the last example we'll look at, after Stephen is stoned and Saul has consented to the death of Stephen in that stoning, in chapter 7, at the beginning of chapter 8, they said, at this time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And we see that the result of being ready for persecution, they didn't hide their Christianity. They didn't hide that they were Christians. They went out and preached the gospel. And we need to be prepared for this. So let us go to 1 Peter. Let us go to 1 Peter and note some things about being ready for persecution. Peter's writing to many. It says in verse 1 of chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So obviously he is talking to Christians, to those, and likely that he is talking mostly to Jews here, writing mostly to Jews, but he is not excluding any that may be Gentiles, because all are Christians now that he learned about, as we would read in the 10th chapter of Acts. He understood the Gentiles were also now heirs if they obeyed. But he says there in chapter 1 and verse 6, he said, in this you greatly rejoice, the things that he had talked about in verses 3 through 5. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. There are trials coming. Persecutions were starting, or they were going to come very quickly. And he's wanting to make sure that they understand. And over in the 4th chapter in verse 12, he says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Bringing a point, and again, this is Peter who has been persecuted many times, as we read about in Acts. He says this trial is going to be a test, a fiery trial. And he compares it, or it has been compared to the refining of gold. It takes away all the things that are not gold, and the fire and the pure gold comes out. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to be like a fiery test, a fiery trial that we will encounter that Peter is writing to here. And in verse 14 of this same chapter 4, he says, you will be reproached, insulted, or reviled. He says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. So by going through the persecutions, you may be reproached, insulted, or reviled, but it's a glory unto God. We glorify God by going through these things. And it may cause grief or distress, as we read over again in 1st chapter in verse 6. He says that for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Grieved or distressed by these various trials. And we have to remember that we need to continue in righteousness, but if we suffer because of righteousness, we are blessed. Verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. So we can see here that as Peter writes to the Christians here, as he wants to warn them about the coming or the starting of persecutions, that they will be under test or trial. They will be reproached, insulted, and reviled. They will be grieved and distressed, but that it will be for righteousness' sake that they will suffer. So we need to be prepared, just as these Christians were encouraged by Peter to be prepared. We have to remember that the Father that we worship is holy. Verse 15 of chapter 1, talked about in verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, talking about God, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The Father is holy, therefore we as Christians, even though we might suffer, we must remain holy as God is, because we have been redeemed by precious blood. Going on down, talking about the blood that was shed by Jesus, it's so knowing in verse 18, starting in the middle of a sentence here, knowing that you were not redeemed through corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. We remember these things. Our Father is holy. We have been redeemed with precious blood. We have been purified with the word that was spoken to us in our obedience to that word. Verse 22 of chapter 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Our obedience to the truth, which we heard, and we're going to come back and talk about that here in just the next point, is the purifying of our souls in obedience to that word. In verse 23, we have been born again, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Where is our born again coming from? It's through our obedience to the word that was preached. And also in verse 25, the beginning says, and the word of God endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The gospel, the truth, is what we responded to in obedience to purify ourselves because we were born again. We put off the old man, as we could read in Romans chapter 6, and put on the new man, born again, and through baptism, having our sins washed away. Because we have been redeemed by that precious blood which Jesus gave as a sacrifice, and the Father sent him as a sacrifice, remembering that the Father is holy. Let us remember these things as we go through and strive to serve God and be prepared for persecution. In order to be prepared for persecution, we must submit. First of all, we submit to God. As we look back in chapter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. We are submitting ourselves in holiness to God, as we read in verses 15 and 16. So we're being obedient to God. We must submit to God in obedience, first of all. Secondly, in verse 17, it says we must do this in fear. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So we're submitting to God in obedience, in fear, and we must sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Notice over in chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to sanctify. What does sanctify mean? Set apart God in our hearts. We need to have that as the mainstay in our heart as we go through our lives and think about God and what He would have us to do. First in obedience and fear, in sanctification and also in humility. Verse 6 here of chapter 5, verse 6 of chapter 5 beginning, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." So submission to God is necessary in obedience, in fear, in sanctification, in humility. But not only that, but we are to submit to the governments that we are under. Verse 13 of chapter 2, we start reading, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So we are also not only to submit to God, but as we submit to God, we are to submit to the government, the governments that we live under, because it is ordained by God. And he goes on, "For those that we work for, to our masters, in this life, as far as what we submit ourselves to in our work," and he's talking here to servants in particular, verse 18 of chapter 2, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh, for this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." You know, we may have to suffer from time to time for something that we didn't do, or we're doing what is right and may have to suffer for that. And we get some sort of a punishment because of what we are, as we are holding to God's commands. So if we, as it mentions here, if we are submitting to our employers, but we have to not do something because it would be against God if we did, then if we suffer for that, we take it patiently because it's commendable before God. So we need to make sure that we submit to all that we need to submit to, first to God, then to governments, to our masters, and also not only to that, but to the wives are to submit to the husbands, the husband is to honor the wife, and Christians are to submit to one another. Let us notice in chapter 3, in verse 1 through 6, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So the wives submit to your own husbands. But husbands, likewise," verse 7, "dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Do you honor your wife? Husbands, do you honor your wife? We need to. We are commanded to do this. We need to dwell with them with understanding. Let us submit to that, command of God in our daily life as we go through submitting ourselves to God, first of all. And then Christians to one another. Chapter 3 and verse 8, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. We are to submit to one another as Christians. Over in chapter 4, verse 7 beginning, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And finally, over in chapter 5 and verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to them. So, in conclusion, I want to review what we have talked about this morning. Ready for persecution. Now we, like I said, have not endured very much persecution here in this life. Again, it's not anything close to what they did if we look through Acts. What the Christians in the first century had to endure to remain faithful unto God. But in our times, we may have to endure other things throughout our lives. It may be that we will be left out of certain things because of what we believe. We may be looked down upon because of what we teach. We may be ostracized, put aside because of what we teach and the life that we live. Because it, unfortunately, for many in this world, it judges them. They see a righteousness that is based on God's Word, and it's judging them. And that sometimes makes people very unhappy, uncomfortable to be around you. So you may be ostracized or put aside. So we need to be prepared now, at this time, because it may get worse. Really pray that it does not, but it might get worse. We must be found with genuine faith. Chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the genuineness of your faith, and it's talking about the testing that they were going to endure, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the end idea that we look at in all these things. The genuine faith that we have is to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to gird our minds. Verse 13 of chapter 1, Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When is all this going to come about? Judgment. And we need to be prepared, gird up our loins that we might be sober and rest our hope in Jesus. In chapter 3, we must have this good conscience that we talked about sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts in verse 15. Having a good conscience, verse 16, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Again, looking ahead to the judgment. We must be found in prayer and be serious. In verse 7 of chapter 4, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And in verse 13 of that same chapter, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. We have a great thing that we're looking forward to, is that judgment day that we can stand before God and He can say, well done, good and faithful servant. And finally, in chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Are we prepared? Are we ready for the persecution that we may encounter even today? It might be small in comparison to what we find in the early church, but it still may be persecution that tests us. Let us be prepared. And we do that by being ready. And having God in our hearts and doing obedience to Him. I've talked about becoming a Christian this morning, and that is when the gospel is preached that you hear that word and believe that word. Because you know and understand it to be the word of God, and you understand that you need to obey it. That causes you to change your mind about the things that you've been doing in this life. That's a repentance, changing your ways, setting aside the things of the world and turning toward God. That is repentance. Then we need to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and upon that confession we submit ourselves to baptism, to the immersion in water, that we might have our sins washed away. We can read about that and study about that in the New Testament. Our sins are washed away in baptism by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we rise to walk in newness of life, faithful unto the end. And let us do that. If you're not a child of God, please respond to the gospel this day. And if you are a child of God and have set aside doing the work that God would have us to do, and have fallen back into this world, let us change and confess our sins. If they're private, confess them to God and repent and pray to God. If there are a public nature that needs to be noted, please make that known also, that we might pray with you for forgiveness. If you're in any way are subject, please come forward as we stand and sing.